Welcome to The Dreaming. I'm Joe Foljam.
I'm Sasha Smulders. This is The Sandman, Issue 38, The Hunt. Can we just play Duran Duran's Hungry Like the Wolf through the background of this whole podcast?
If I could get the rights, yes, but I can't. Because they're huge and expensive, I'm sure.
Okay.
So you'll just have to play it along yourself as you listen.
Share that video.
Sure, I'll include the video in the show notes. Why not, now that we've mentioned it?
Excellent.
doesn't hurt. So let's start with the cover.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good one. It is actually just photography and some photographic manipulation, I'm guessing, because we've got the see-through arm held up there. The mask, I believe, is two-dimensional. And the model is Claire Haythornthwaite. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Who was Dave McKean's then girlfriend and I believe is now his wife.
Okay. So I guess this is supposed to be the Romani woman reacting kind of to when she does the touches pinkies with the guy. I kind of get that impression.
A little. Well, she's covering her mouth and she's covering her right eye. And there's a drawing of a wolf nailed to her head.
Yeah, and that's like it's the, she sees that like psychically or something. That's what that could be.
And I can't identify these books.
But they are definitely books.
Yes. Books, which is, you know, that's what Lucien's looking for. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It looks like there's a tree, like a limb of a tree.
Yeah, definitely some trees, tree in the background. And it looks like this candle, the candle holder, is it made of wire? But it looks like it's looping into branches there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's neat. It's really cool. All stuff, I guess, Dave McKean has just lying around in his art-filled house.
Yeah.
Behind the title, The Hunt, it looks like there's a kind of a wood carving of a, I'm going to guess, a wolf's eye. The cover date for this issue was June of 1992, and it was in stores in April 21st of 1992. And we've got a grandfather who wants to tell his granddaughter a story of the old country.
She's not very interested. She'd rather watch TV.
Yeah. I get it. Who knows how often she sees him and how often he wants to tell stories. And she's like, ugh, again?
Well, they set up like their kind of culture clash pretty early on, like right away, where she says, Christ sakes, and he says, you'd never hear that in the old country.
Right.
And so like very much like immediately establish.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the term the old country as well. He uses the word palavra. What a palavra that was. That's actually from the Portuguese of palavra. It means a prolonged and idle discussion.
Mm.
So he's like, oh, I would have to talk so much about that. On panel 5, he says, oh, and I suppose if everybody cut off their heads and stuffed asafoetida in their mouths and buried their hearts at the crossroads, then you'd do it too. Asafoetida is a highly scented dark yellow gum resin with a bitter, acrid taste that's obtained from the roots of a few plants of the genus Ferula. It's found in Central Asia. And it is literally from the Latin asa, meaning resin, and foetida, meaning stinking. It smells really, really bad. But apparently it's a really popular spice used in a lot of things, including Indian cooking. And it's one of the major ingredients in Worcester sauce, as well as anchovies.
Hmm.
Like highly scented garlic, asafoetida is traditionally a repellent of vampires and or werewolves. Apparently, they don't like strong scents, I guess, was where that came from.
I guess. That makes sense.
And I went looking to see what this stuff was like, and I found somebody who wanted to investigate and bought some, and it was so smelly, they had to double wrap it and then put it into a plastic container that was sealed so that it wouldn't make other things smell bad.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so they couldn't keep it in their house.
It's like really, really pungent, yeah.
Now I'm very curious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we could try and find some, I think.
Mm. That could be like a top tier Patreon.
Oh.
We'll cut off our heads, we'll stuff our mouths with asafoetida, and we'll bury our hearts at a crossroad.
Sure. I mean, if we raise enough money. He gets a little passive aggressive. And it works. She leads him along. You haven't forgotten it. Come on, grandfather. It began long, long ago before the family left the old country.
So like my family are immigrants And like, I kind of get this, like for them, it's different. Like my family is like Catholic guilt. It's like Italian Catholic guilt, mm-hmm. but like totally this thing where it's like, well, I'm not. And then you're like, you have to go back. And like that, yeah. I think it's a European thing in general. I think that's where my family gets it at least.
Maybe. I think I can remember my mother pulling that a few times.
It's universal then.
It might be. Not so much that it was a thing for my mother, for sure. But I think I can remember a couple times.
And next we're in the woods.
Yeah, here in the story. The forests today are poor things. These were the real forests of the old country. We've got lots of things about real and true being repeated here.
Right? Mm-hmm. True wolves and true bears.
Yeah.
Okay, it was a forest. I had trees in it. I'm not stupid. I got it.
So you want to tell the story? Maybe I should listen. You tell it so well.
I didn't say that. It's your story. You tell it.
So he does. Mentions that the true wolves would come down from the steppes, driven south by hunger. And I'm guessing here true wolves means, because we've all read this now, not people that turn into wolves.
Mm-hmm.
The actual wolves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there were few true folk in the forest. Here and there, perhaps a woodcutter or a charcoal burner and his brats. So again, true folk, I think, means humans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The young man's mother had died bringing him into the world. She gave him life, a small wooden finger ring, and the name Vasily. There have been worse legacies.
Vasily, but that's...
It's a pretty common name. Anyway.
And we have to take from that, then, that that is actually his name.
It's his name, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, we've all read this. We know at the end. He's telling his story.
Yeah.
He was 16 years old when a peddler woman comes to the forest, and she was not one of his people, but Romani. In North America, we would know that as gypsies, but that's a not accurate word for them. It was people thought that they were Egyptians that had come and migrated to Europe.
Mm.
So they were called, you know, gyps, Egypts, Egyptians.
Oh.
That's where gypsy came from. But recent research has confirmed that they actually came from northern India.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I knew that gypsy was a word that was like not so accurate, but I didn't know the etymology of it itself. Like I didn't know why it wasn't accurate. I just knew it was like, don't use that word.
Well, it's not the word they use.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah.
If the Romani want to be called Romani, we should call them Romani.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She's only got two teeth, but her eyes are bright as a bird.
I like the way they draw him here. Like he's down and hunting, but then he stands up, no fear, no emotion. Like he's just standing straight up. Says his name. She says, I'm hungry. He just walks away, comes back nonchalantly holding a rabbit he just caught.
Mm-hmm.
Like no effort at all, no worry. It's great.
Listen, I'm hungry, boy.
Turns, walks, panel where he's gone, then he's walking back holding a rabbit.
Yeah, that's good.
And she shows him what she's got in her bag.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Emerald Heart of Koshe the Deathless. In Slavic folklore, Koshe is an archetypical male antagonist, a villain. He's usually described as abducting the hero's wife.
Mm-hmm.
He cannot be killed by conventional means targeting his body. His soul is kept hidden separate from his body inside a needle, which is inside an egg, which is in a duck, which is in a hare, which is in an iron chest. Sometimes it's crystal or gold, depending on the story, which is buried under a green oak tree, which is on the island of Buyan in the ocean. And as long as his soul is safe, he cannot die. He's basically, if you've played Dungeons and Dragons or fantasy role-playing, he's basically a lich.
Mm.
He's very skinny, sometimes seen as a skeleton. If his chest is dug up and opened, the hare will bolt away. If the hare is killed, the duck will emerge and try to fly off. Great stuff. Like, wonderful story here.
Cool.
No references for Cloak of the Night. I couldn't find that. It's very difficult to look up Cloak of the Night because that's used in all sorts of fantasy things. Of course, Cloak of Night is often what people use to describe sneaking around at night because the darkness at night cloaks you.
Mm-hmm.
She's definitely talking about an actual woven cloak or a sewn cloak. The drum inescapable, it doesn't have any other references that I found either, but it is referred to later in the Books of Magic, Book 3. So Neil uses it again.
Okay. Well, it's from the hide of a wyvern, mm-hmm. which is a dragon. It's a quadra-limbed, not
a winged, two-legged dragon with a barbed tail.
Yeah, that's a wyvern.
Yeah, and there's a wyvern that guards the center of the dreaming.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know what's kind of neat? I'm just going to pull this out here. Koshe can't be killed because he keeps his, you know, lifey-ness trapped away. He's basically Voldemort. Cloak of Night, which is like the invisibility cloak.
Yes.
This is J.K. Rowling stole all of this stuff for Voldemort.
Let's not even go there, because when Harry Potter became popular, like right at the very beginning, when there are all those things about, look at all these kids reading these books, people who are Neil Gaiman fans were like, he's just like Tim Hunter from the Books of Magic. And they thought that she had copied them.
Oh.
But she'd been working on it longer. Like, she'd been working on the story since before Neil's books came out, I think is what it worked. And Neil was like, no, it's, we're both English, so of course we're going to have schoolboys.
Oh, yeah. And we'll also like things like an invisibility cloak that is not a new idea that you would put on a cloak that would hide you. That's pretty much cross-cultural. And also the idea of, like, when she builds Voldemort, she actually comes up with a really neat idea with the Horcruxes, where they're spread out, but he's a lich. Mm-hmm. Like, he's essentially a wizard, but like a dark magics wizard who's basically gone like full lich. Like,
yeah.
And then, like, Neil didn't invent that, so that's fine. It was mostly a joke. Yeah, I'm sorry, JK. I'm really sorry. I'm sorry, JK. I didn't mean it. Don't come after me on Twitter.
The wood of the drum is crafted from Yggdrasil. That's the world tree in Norse mythology.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
And I guess, you know, if you beat this drum, nothing can escape you. Hunters would often have people with drums beating them so that the animals would actually run towards the hunters.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's what this is for, is hunters going after things. You beat the drum and it can't escape you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And as he's thinking about these wonderful things, his father just shows up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how did she get all these cool things?
Yeah. Also, note what Koshe's heart looks like. A green glass heart. Where have we seen that before?
Oh, well, there was the blue glass heart in the desert.
Rose Walker pulled her heart out and handed it to her grandmother in the dreaming. So we have yet another crystal heart.
Now, I don't know how they say this word. Top, middle, panel of the next page.
Oh, gage?
Gage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, what does that mean? What word is that?
Gajo, G-A-D-J-O, is the Romani word for non-Romani.
Oh, okay.
So I guess gage is a tense of that.
Okay.
Father pulls him away and kind of saves him from being conned.
I mean, what would he even have to give anyway, right?
Yeah.
Like,
he did ask, what do you want for these?
He has nothing to pay for your old baubles.
Mm-hmm. And he goes back to her and says, my father says that the things you showed me are valueless, gewgaws and trinkets.
Values in what people think, not in what's real. Values in dreams, boy.
Hmm, dreams, eh? And she rewards him for the roast rabbit the day before with an amulet.
A pretty lady amulet.
Yeah. And she talks about how she used to be beautiful with long black hair. And she danced in every town from Skof to Vyatka. Skof is a city in the European part of Russia, and Vyatka is the former name of the city of Kirov in Kirov Oblast, Russia. I wanted to see how far she'd walked, so I looked them up on Google Maps.
Okay.
And I just got walking directions between the two, and they're almost 1,500 kilometers apart.
What's that in, like, something that I would recognize?
It's not quite as far as from here to San Francisco.
So from Burnaby, British Columbia, to San Francisco.
That is 1,600 kilometers walk, but yeah.
That's a long ways.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Russia's a big place.
Halfway through this walk, it's just slightly north of Moscow.
Mm.
So you go from basically the very edge of Russia and then past Moscow and then keep going.
Mm.
And she also offers to tell his fortune.
Yeah. Give me your little finger, look into my eyes, and I'll tell your fortune. And when she reaches out for him...
and sees his eyes. I'm pretty sure that's what's going on here. She looks in his eyes, finally, and sees what he is. Or a hint of what he is.
She's very frightened, and she runs away.
Mm-hmm.
Scuttled off into the forest like a frightened rabbit.
Just before she runs... her hand is making the devil horn signs, her left hand.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually the sign to ward off the evil eye. And her other hand, according to the Sandman annotations, she's making the sign to ward off the devil. But it also does look like she's just got her pinky crooked still and has backed up a bit. So I'm not totally sure about that.
Hmm.
And the boy returns to his hut.
Yeah, he heads home and they have their stag.
Mm-hmm.
And winter's come in. But he's not really satisfied.
No, he would take out the picture of the Duke's daughter on the amulet and stare at it.
Mm-hmm. But Fossily is not satisfied with life in the woods.
So one day, he takes a handkerchief and wrapped up his few possessions. Some tarnished bronze coins, a small bone that he had carved into the shape of a small bone, a thin wooden finger ring his mother had left him, which we had mentioned before. So he didn't own very much.
So when I read the small bone carved into a smaller bone, like my immediate thought was like, what the hell? And I'm so glad that she said it like the next panel when she said it and I laughed out loud. Because I was like, oh, good. She's thinking what I'm thinking.
He carved it into the shape of a different small bone. All right. Look, Celeste, this is what happened, okay? Do I ask you to explain Michael Jackson lyrics?
I don't like Michael Jackson anymore. Only dweebs and kids listen to Michael Jackson.
Last week you liked Michael Jackson. This week you don't like Michael Jackson. So what am I, a mind reader? So he sets off, and he encounters the peddler woman for the last time.
Yeah, she has not had a good time of it. She appears to have been attacked by a wild animal.
Well, but a wild animal would probably have eaten her. And bandits would have taken her pack. Maybe his father killed her.
Oh.
Right?
Maybe. Well, that's not very nice.
I don't think he's very nice. I think when he found out that his boy had got something from her, he went and dealt with her.
Hmm.
So he reached the forest borders and finds an inn.
Ye old tavern.
Yeah.
And he's talking to the innkeeper, and the innkeeper doesn't, I don't think, really believes him, like, who he is. And then when he says where he's going, which is to the palace of the Duke, the innkeeper's like, oh, you must be loaded.
Yeah, what are you selling? Oh, an emerald, a little drum, a shirt, a book, because he took her things.
Mm-hmm.
The legs of the bed were bolted to the floor, and it could not be moved. He went to sleep on the hard floor in the opposite corner of the room. Yeah, that's interesting that the bed is bolted. And then we find out why.
This is a murder inn.
Yeah.
This is like straight up Holmes.
Yeah, yeah. This is really frightening. He does seem to hit with the blunt edge of the axe. But still, he must get an awful lot of blood on his sheets if he does this so regularly.
Yeah. I just figured that was a double-ended axe.
It might be. And then he's chopping up his sheets in his bed all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so many better ways to kill somebody. Like, you've got...
He fed him. He could have poisoned him.
And you've got surprise. So you could use something blunt and still kill him.
Yeah.
Although, just knock him out.
Let's note, Vasily ate lightly of the inn's indifferent food, then went up to his room. He bolted the door. But then later, after he deals with the innkeeper...
He ate lots. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, well rested and well fed.
Yes, he set off due west, away from the sunrise, well rested and well fed. As he wipes his mouth, he ate the innkeeper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. So why do you think the innkeeper decides to kill him?
Because he found that the boy had stuff worth taking.
Mm. So he's got this secret panel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he built a murder inn.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. These have existed. He probably doesn't murder everybody because you couldn't get away with that, right?
No.
But,
it's bad for business.
But, you know, he's like, what are you selling? Oh, an emerald. I'm going to go to the Duke and sell it. Why, that would probably be worth a lot. Take this room.
Take my murder room.
Yes.
Well, it's the last time I stay in a murder inn.
Yeah. 2 days of travel later, it's snowing, and he meets the tallest, thinnest man he has ever seen.
With the coolest hat.
Yes. And it's Lucien. Morpheus's librarian.
Mm-hmm. I recognize those eyebrows anyway.
Yes, exactly. And the pointy ears.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we get another discussion about value. Vasily says nothing of any value.
Value's in the mind of the buyer, not the peddler.
Yeah. And he's looking for a book. And it's pretty obvious that Lucien knows exactly that he has the book and he wants it. He asks his price, and Vasily shows the picture of the girl.
Also, Lucien knows that it's the whole heart and the emerald is not real.
Right. According to popular report, Cochet the Deathless kept his heart in a duck egg, and it was destroyed by a young gallant 200 years ago. That is according to the story, yes.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, he wants the book, and the price that Vasily is willing to trade the book in for is he wants the girl, the Duke's daughter.
He wants the Duke's daughter. And Lucien is, oh, dear me, good gracious, no, I can't pay anything like that. I'm just a librarian who lost a book. Vasily says.
Very well.
And just does that turns and walks away thing.
Yeah, he knows what he wants.
He's so straightforward.
And so I guess in this next conversation with his granddaughter, we find out there is, when I first read this, I thought perhaps Vasily and the people were fairies.
Mm-hmm. But this conversation, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of shows they're not fairies.
Right.
This thin man, was he one of the people?
Which is, I guess, the werewolf people.
Was he a fairy or something? I don't believe in fairies.
Of course you don't believe in fairies. You're 15. You think I believed in fairies at 15? Took me until I was at least 140, 150 maybe. Anyway, he wasn't a fairy. He was a librarian, all right?
It all sounds suspiciously postmodern to me, Grandpa. Are you sure this is really a story from the old country?
Listen, blood of my blood, although I'm a hard man to anger and I love you deeply, if you interrupt me again, so help me, I'll rip out your throat with my teeth.
Sorry, Grandfather. The first read-through, I was like, oh, he's joking about being, he's like, 140, right? Like, he's joking. But then I was also like, I suspected that it was him, but I was like, I like that this could be taken both ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he definitely is pretty old, and it definitely is him.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess this means he's definitely threatening his granddaughter.
I mean, I think it's a little cheeky.
She takes it pretty seriously. That is small type with extra white space in a balloon, signifying quiet, sheepish talking.
Sorry, Grandfather. And a raven has been following him while he's walking.
Mm-hmm. Who do we know who's got a raven?
Oh, you know, there's this guy. He's very pale. He's got really wild hair.
So I think we know why Morpheus shows up later.
Because he's been watching.
Because the raven, whoever the raven is at this point, told him, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The raven before Matthew was...
Jessamy was one of them.
Jessamy.
Mm-hmm. We don't know if that's Jessamy, though. Mm-hmm. Not sure of all the timelines and stuff.
Okay.
When Jessamy was yet. Lucien shows up and has a big sack of gold.
Yeah, he runs into Lucien again. He's just... and he's dressed differently this time. He's changed. He's in a tailcoat.
It's not snowing, so he's not wearing his overcoat.
Vasily doesn't want gold.
No.
No, he set his price. He's not going to change it. And he says that if Lucien's not willing to pay his price, he'll burn it.
It won't burn.
Then I won't burn it. But it won't be yours unless you meet my price.
Oh, dear. Can I get back to you on this one?
Vasily's in the woods, and he sees his dinner.
He scented a high scent in the air, the smell of deer. And he chases it down, but it does note that he's weighed down by his pack.
Yeah, he's
and
slower.
I think what that actually means is can't change into a wolf to hunt. Although he did say he can run on four legs as fast as two, so I guess both are just as fast.
And the person who does catch the deer doesn't do it in the form of a wolf. When she does it, she does it as herself.
Mm-hmm. And cracks its neck with her arms, with her bare hands.
Yeah, what a way to hunt a deer.
Well, it's quick, right?
Wrestling. Just brawl that deer. A good evening to you, kinsman.
Yeah.
If you'd been faster, you would have caught her, not I.
I'm carrying a pack on my back. Were it not for the pack, I would be faster. I have chased her for many, many leagues. They're both the same. They're both so straight up. Very subtle, but I'm really noticing it when I read it through this time that, like, there's no pretense. She's just standing there holding it. She turns and walks away, and it doesn't seem passive-aggressive or whiny. He's just explaining, I'm carrying a pack on my back.
Yeah.
Right? And then says, your people are near here. Can I accompany you? If you wish. And she just keeps walking.
Yeah.
Very simple and straightforward. Yeah.
And so they find an encampment of the people.
Mm-hmm. And you can see on the far right of those people, one of them is in pretty werewolfy form. It looks like, anyway, or perhaps wearing a
Yeah, well, their knees are backwards.
Yeah.
They have doggy knees.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like a big fluffy head.
And a snout and ears, yeah. Yeah, the people. More hints of what's going on here if this was your first read through.
Yeah.
And accompanying the people is Baba Yaga.
I like her. I like her so much.
Baba Yaga is a witch from traditional Russian fairy tales. She has iron teeth, lives in a hut which has chicken legs. You can see it behind her there. And she flies across the night sky in a mortar, which she drives with a pestle, which we see later. She's a great sorceress. She has lots of magical powers. And she's generally evil, but she often appears as what's called a donor in fairy tales, in Russian fairy tales. A donor being a magical entity that kind of helps the hero along or gives them what they need to complete their quest.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe a fairy godmother. A fairy godmother is a donor. So sometimes Baba Yaga is a little helpful, even though she's kind of evil.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's like neutral evil.
Yeah. She's often enigmatic, I think is the way to say, and many faceted.
I just like her portrayal so much in this.
Oh, it's great.
I just like everything about her.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a big fan of the art style here. It's like a little messy, but it just works so well. And like the character details are so great.
She calls him little cousin
and
refers to herself as old auntie.
Yeah. She wants the Emerald Heart of Koshe the Deathless.
I have something you've always wanted, good gossip. and so he's become a salesman over in his travels. He's learned the art.
Mm-hmm. And he needs to get to the Duke's palace. And she takes him up into the sky with her flying mortar.
In the black shadow of Baba Yaga, babies screamed and mothers miscarried. Milk soured and men went mad. Below them, Jews were burned in their houses and gypsies were beaten to death. Nightbirds screamed and owls hooted and wolves howled. Faster than the wind they rode that night, and before dawn they landed in the courtyard of the winter palace of the Duke.
Hmm. And she asks for her payment and he hands it over.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we get that handing off of a heart shot, which we've had several times in this series.
So when she's riding here, are these all things that they're like portents that like she is supposed to be a thing that happens that like Baba Yaga is the reason babies scream and Baba Yaga is the reason women miscarry?
Yeah, I think so.
Why their milk goes bad and why, like, she's just the reason why bad things happen.
Yeah,
she's
a witch.
So if she's flying above a village, that's why bad things are happening in that village, because she flew overhead.
Yeah, it's probably more, you know, if babies are screaming or a mother miscarries or milk sours, they go, oh, Baba Yaga must be flying over.
Mm.
And so now this is the reverse, where Baba Yaga flies over. So they go, and therefore all of this happens.
She beat her pestle 3 times against the side of her mortar. Churches fell down, roads cracked, towers crumbled, and Baba Yaga rose high into the air, screeching loud enough to wake the dead. I love it. I just love the idea of her like screaming through the air. I love it. Oh. Her grimace. Oh. Hold on. I thought you said it wasn't the Emerald Heart of Koshai the Deathless. You said the old peddler woman had lied.
Maybe I was mistaken. Maybe Baba Yaga was easily fooled. Who knows? You shouldn't trust the storyteller. Only trust the story.
I don't quite get that. Like, so does it mean that...
Storytellers can lie, but there's always truth in a story.
Oh, so he didn't get a ride from Baba Yaga. He makes this ride from Baba Yaga up, maybe, to, like, make it sound even cooler. Or... like, he gets there, but maybe he's lying about getting a ride from Baba Yaga and paying her with this Emerald Heart of Koshai. Like,
well, I think it's more just, in the story, he was telling that it's the Emerald Heart of Koshai the Deathless.
Uh-huh.
And trust that that's what it is in the story.
Oh, okay.
And it might be, but it might not be. Don't trust that the storyteller is telling you the truth, but trust that they're telling you a story.
Okay.
And he bangs on the door, and it was opened by a small fat man who stank of powder. We saw the pomodoro in Thermidor, which people would use to cover up scents. Scented powders were also used. You would powder yourself rather than have those regular baths.
Mm-hmm. Well, this guy's also wearing a wig.
Mm-hmm. Well, the powder would be something that only rich people could afford. Mm-hmm. So powdered would mean well-to-do, yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of the makeups back in these days and like the things they treated their wigs with and stuff was like lead and things like that. So like...
I don't know about this time in Russia. I do remember hearing Russia, yeah, that there was a lot of lead-based makeup in Egypt.
Mm-hmm. And in England.
Mm, okay.
Well, Queen Elizabeth coated her face in it, but this is later, but yeah.
Again, he's very straightforward.
Yeah.
But that straightforwardness means he kind of expects other people are being straightforward with him, I think, which makes him incredibly easily fooled.
Yeah.
By this person.
And this guy does take advantage of him, mm-hmm, right there. Yeah, I seek this woman.
Oh, great and noble lord, I would not dream of denying you anything. But the noble lady must be woken, and she must be dressed and bathed and powdered before she sees someone as important as yourself, peddler boy. Follow me.
Takes him down to the basement, and unfortunately, Vasily doesn't know that this guy is tricking him because he can't smell how afraid he is.
Mm-hmm.
And if he had been able to smell that the guy was afraid, he would have known something was up.
Yes. And he basically locks him in the dungeon behind an iron door.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't get out. And he just starts to wisely ration his food.
I love how in the middle of this like harrowing story of him being stuck in the dungeon, the mm-hmm, grandfather manages to get a dig in about television.
He was of the people, and he could see in full darkness because he hadn't ruined his eyes with television.
Grandpa, my eyes are fine.
Okay, okay. So can you blame an old man for being concerned? So your eyes are good, too. That's good. His eyes were better.
That's so good. And so he's run out of food.
Mm-hmm.
We of the people are hard to kill, and harder to kill the older we get. But he was young, and without food or water or moonlight, he would die the true death.
Moonlight. The true death.
Mm.
And as he's waiting, Lucien returns again, a third time.
Yeah, and he tries to change the rules a little bit. He tries to say, I'll just get you out of here for that book.
And he says, oh, if you just waited for me to die, I could have just taken it. Lucien points out that there's kind of rules here.
Mm-hmm.
He's not allowed to take it. He has to be given it or, I guess, purchase it. It has to be agreed. And he notes that when he dies, that the Duke would become the owner and then he'd have to deal with him. And he doesn't want to do that.
No. No.
Do you know how long it's been since I mislaid a book? Well, let's just say the continents weren't in their current shapes. Not that that means anything to you. That was a long, long time ago.
Yeah. Pangaea.
Yes.
Suppose we do a deal. Your freedom for the book. Yes?
No. I am of the people, man. What I seek, I find. What I hunt, I take. I can hide in a shadow. My teeth are sharp enough to cut bone. I run on four legs as easily as two. I am kin to Dwaro and Nightgaunt. I owe allegiance to none born, and I fear nothing. I want the woman. Dwaro is the Anglo-Saxon plural of dwarf.
Oh.
As opposed to dwarfs or dwarves.
Okay.
And Tolkien tried to use Dwaro as the plural for dwarf in his Middle-earth series, but mm-hmm, he wasn't very consistent himself.
No.
Yeah.
No. And what's a Nightgaunt?
Nightgaunts are faceless, flying humanoid servants of the god Nodens. They appeared in stories by H.P. Lovecraft, an early horror author. H.P. Lovecraft, though, was after this.
Yeah.
And this is a good shot of his teeth here. You can see he's got some pretty developed canines.
Mm-hmm.
Lucien says, oh dear, once more. Well, you'd better come with me then.
He's so mild-mannered.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
And so he takes him through this huge library.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, I guess we figure out Lucien can kind of walk through the world, can, you know, do that. But he has to do it through the library. He doesn't walk through people's dreams to do it. He just kind of zips into the library and then goes through the library to come out again somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Now, quiet through here. Very, very quiet. I can take shortcuts, but only through the library. We mustn't do anything to attract his attention. Be very, very quiet.
Lucien, you did not tell me we had a guest. Stop that. Well, Lucien, I'm waiting.
Ah, well, Lord, I must admit that I was hoping you wouldn't find out about this.
Your newfound habit of bringing home strays?
No, not exactly.
And he explains
mm-hmm,
the whole thing. Oh, I want this girl. Morpheus understands falling in love. He does it a lot himself, it seems.
He gets a double twinkle in the eye.
That's, you're right. We haven't seen a double twinkle that often. And he smiles, which is very rare. And he says, give Lucian the book. And we get to see the title, The Merry Comedy of the Redemption of Dr. Faustus by Christopher Marlowe. Lucian's library is of books that were never written.
Mm-hmm.
Marlowe's most famous work concerns the fall of Dr. Faustus, who sought a long life at the cost of his soul. And this is obviously the sequel, which Marlowe might have even planned. We're not sure.
Oh, now they go to visit the lady friend.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's a great little moment here where he says he doesn't even remember what her name is, Natasha or something like that.
Yeah.
This could be my name. My name is
Nastasia.
Easily mistaken for Natasha.
Mm-hmm. Mm. She dreams of walking through a covered market looking for cornflowers and finding only goblets of sour blood. Well, do you dare wake her up? He dares.
Hello? What are you doing in my chamber? Who are you? Who are these people?
And she doesn't scream or run or even seem all that afraid.
No.
He finally gets what he wants and just hands her the amulet and then says, take me away from here, please.
Yeah. So he doesn't want to, like, marry her. When he says he wants her, I don't think, like...
Here's what I thought about as I was reading this. He doesn't desire her. He wasn't given a desire from the peddler woman. He was given a dream.
Oh, and so he had to go to her to see his dream.
Yeah, and once you get the dream, you don't need it anymore, right? It wasn't desire. It seemed like it was desire, but it wasn't.
Hmm.
And when he saw the reality, he was like, oh, here, have this.
Yeah, this is yours. You should have it.
The Lord of Dreams took the young man back to his palace, and Vasily feasted there on venison and hare and pheasant and kid. That's a baby goat, not children. He drank Tokay and sherbet and fine brandy. Tokay is an aromatic wine made in the region around the town of the same name in Hungary and Slovakia as well. Mm. There's the Tokay wine region.
In the background, we see the helm, the ruby, and the bag of sand,
mm-hmm.
all on this, like, cool dais thing.
It almost looks like it's his cloak, right?
Yeah.
That his cloak itself is becoming the thing holding everything else up. Yeah, it's really cool. And the throne Dream is sitting on seems to have a spinal cord.
Yeah.
So that might be some of the other bones from the gods that he murdered.
Yay!
He made his helm out of. Yeah. When Lucian asked Vasily about the Duke's daughter, he shook his head and said nothing. But the Lord of Dreams knew that wishes are sometimes best left ungranted, and he did not need to ask.
Hmm. And when Vasily wakes up, he's in the forest.
Yeah.
And then later in the spring, he's in his wolf form. He's running around in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And he meets another wolf. And sparks fly.
It's the girl from before.
Mm-hmm.
Except she's in wolf form. And then they, quote, celebrate their union.
This one's very like, can you feel the love tonight?
This was originally drawn with Vasily basically entering a wolf from behind. Didn't come off very well.
I want that version.
So they had to redo it, and it didn't exactly catch the shifting forms of wolf and human doing this all together, but
you know, this just looks like wolves.
Yes,
but
it's better than a man having sex with a wolf. I don't think that would have worked. We would have been like,
I mean, it would have worked.
Would have worked
for a
you.
Different crowd.
Okay, fine.
For a different comic, it would have worked.
And the
they had a big wedding.
They had a big wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And the daughter says, it's kind of sexist. And it is a little bit sexist in that especially the Duke's daughter was kind of the reward, but then he didn't want the reward. So it played with that a bit.
Yeah, like, by not exploring what it would have been like if he'd wanted the Duke's daughter, we don't get to answer, like, what would have happened. Right? Like, because he eventually was like, no, I don't want her, right? Mm-hmm. But like, so if, but if that hadn't been the way it was, if it had been like, yep, she's my prize now.
Well, then it definitely would have been sexist. Yes.
Drag her into the woods by her hair, right? But by never answering that, we don't quite have a, yeah, it's left unknown.
Yeah. How which, that would have gone. So I guess we could say it's kind of sexist. So she's right.
Mm-hmm.
And on the final page, she claims to know what the story's about.
Yeah, because she has a boyfriend who's not one of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like, they set you up to do this, you know, like.
Yeah, you're so transparent, Grandpa. Look, we don't live in the forest anymore. This is New Jersey, not Novaya Zemlya. And I can go out with whoever I want to. Novaya Zemlya is, if you look at the map of Russia, there's a big strip of islands way up in the north of the Russian mainland, just inside the Arctic Circle.
Mm-hmm.
They're virtually uninhabited, so that's probably not where this story took place at all.
Okay.
It literally means new land.
Mm.
So it could just mean she just picked a place that maybe she knew to say.
So yeah, she's just kind of saying her life is not like what his was.
Mm-hmm.
And this story is, it's insulting to her because she wants to have a life, right? Like she doesn't, she's a new generation, and how is she going to find another one of the people to be with, even if she was supposed to be with the people?
And the moral is that the people are happy with the people. Big surprise. But he claims, but it wasn't about your boyfriend. It wasn't really even about the people. It was about what he saw when he looked at the sleeping woman, why he turned his back on her. It was about dreams. And it was.
Well, yeah, I think the thing is that she's taking it as the story is you belong with your own kind. But what he's saying is when he saw this person and he looked at her, he realized that person wasn't right for him.
Yeah.
And he ended up with someone who was right for him. And that, like, he's not necessarily saying that this person she's dating,
mm-hmm.
Christopher, is wrong for her.
Right.
He's just saying, you'll know what you want when you see it. Like,
yeah,
when you see that, you'll think you want something, but when you really look at it, you'll realize, oh, that's not what I want, right?
Yeah.
And like, and then it's a better idea to take what you want, like, well, to go for what you want.
Yeah, remember how straightforward his character is in this entire thing, right? No pretenses, no fluff, no extraneous stuff going mm-hmm. on, right? Only kind of reality and direct action.
Yeah.
And so how does a person who values that value a dream all that much? Because he realized it was just a dream, and he's not a person who wants dreams.
Mm-hmm.
He Vasily was a person who wants direct action.
Well, also, I think that's kind of what he's implying with the whole television thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You watch your television, and he's been so against it, and it, maybe he sees like her, like TV as being another dream.
Mm-hmm.
TV, the TV, what she sees on the TV is what he saw when he held the amulet.
Mm-hmm.
This thing that he thought he wanted, so then he was like, I'll go get that, but like, it's not so easy. And when you have it, maybe it's not what you want after all.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the getting there that was the important part.
Mm-hmm.
And then once he got there,
yeah. It's true. If he hadn't gone after that woman, if he hadn't gone after the amulet, he wouldn't have met the wolf woman.
No.
Because he had to go to different woods. Like, he had to leave. He left. He was walked for days and days before he met that other group.
Yeah. So that dream was what led him. But it wasn't his reward. He just met her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish you could have known your grandmother. She was an amazing woman. She knew the value of things. But she never let me forget that she had beaten me to the deer. And that's it. That's the hunt. Your prediction was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was a werewolf. And Morpheus did help him. So I'm gonna call it a win. Based on how little information you had.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, that was a win.
I know a werewolf story when it's coming at me.
Well, you just hope there's a werewolf story.
Yeah, I'm going to guess every story is a werewolf story.
Right. The next issue that we'll be looking at is August, which is The Sandman number 30.
Mm-hmm.
We've got you looking at the cover now because we're giving you these hints with covers.
Yeah, well, it's another month,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting. But based on the pictures, like, they look kind of, with the leaves and the way that their, like, faces are drawn, they look kind of Roman to mm-hmm. me or something.
Okay.
And, like, the way they're, like, nude and posed like statues. So maybe it's some kind of story that takes place in, like, by some like old emperor or something.
Okay.
Maybe there's an emperor who has a dream of something.
Mm. What are some emperor names that we know of?
Augustus.
Oh. Was there an emperor named Augustus?
I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking of Augustus from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. No,
Sasha, there was an emperor named Augustus.
Oh, there was?
Yes.
Oh, good. I don't know that.
Okay. I thought you did. Yes. Augustus Caesar.
It sounds like a name like that. I just, when I hear Augustus, I think of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. The kid who wants to eat all the chocolate.
Oh, okay.
Me.
There was an Augustus Caesar.
Oh. Yeah. Well, maybe I should about him.
You're bang on right.
Spoilers.
Well, I think you're going to find out like by page 2, so it's okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's called August. And then it's in Rome. So, yes.
Oh, good.
So, we'll find out the details next episode. You've been dreaming of the Sandman, issue 38, The Hunt. For show notes, visit thedreaming.motivedust.com. Support future episodes at patreon.com/thedreaming, and we'd sure appreciate it if you'd tell your friends about us. Our theme music is Oneri by Kai Engel. Hear more at kaiengel.bandcamp.com. The Dreaming was recorded in Burnaby, British Columbia, Canada, on the unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, Kikate, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. I'm Joe Fulgen. Thanks for listening. Time to wake up.